So how did you overcome this fear?
You don't.
You don't.
You don't overcome fear. You surrender to it. That's the only way to beat it. You have to just be engulfed by the fear. It's the scariest shit in the universe. And then after that, you sit with it. You keep sitting with it until you can sit there and there's no more fear, but you're in the environment that the fear used to live. You know, like Brad's experience when he was going through experiencing nothingness, just empty blackness. Not blackness is somethingness. It's really nothingness. Mm-hmm. Not having the thought of being held captive, almost in like a coma, you know. Where you can't even learn by thinking about shit that you've gone through. It's not like that. There's no point to learning anything because you can't move ever again. You know, and you can never communicate ever again. You can never put into action any of your lessons. You know, there's no thought of when I get out of this coma, I'm going to do things differently. It's like you're gone. You're in this coma and then you're going to die someday in the coma. You know, that's the biggest fear, that you're trapped in there. That's, fucking scary, you know?
Yeah.
But you don't get over it by going, you know what, though? I'm going to make sure I never get in a coma. Because deep down, somewhere, you know that you can't stop that from happening. It's either going to happen or it's not going to happen. You can't be like, I'm coma-proof. Nobody's coma-proof, you know? That's not how it works. So, what do? You sit there and you imagine that over and over and over again. And you go crazy imagining it. So eventually you can sit there and imagine being in a coma with a nothingness and you're fine. You know? That's really how it is. That's a scary one. You can imagine that's a pretty scary one, right? But at the core of who you are, once you peel away all the shit, that's really what's there is nothingness, that kind of coma state nothingness. And as much as we try to communicate with each other, this is all pointless. Like me trying to tell you guys stuff and teach you things, why? I don't care. It's like, I'm still going to die someday. I'm not living on forever in your memories. Eventually, you're going to die too, and then eventually, the world's going to get engulfed by the sun, you know? And then no one will ever have any idea that humans existed, most likely. But even before then, we'll probably get wiped off the face of the Earth. And then once we get wiped off the face of the Earth, eventually, there's probably going to be a big crunch if there was a Big Bang, and everything in the universe will cease to exist anymore, then maybe be recreated, we don't know, right? But the point is that nothing is forever, nothing. And that includes you, so what's the point? What's the point of sitting here busting your ass trying to make something happen to make a legend, you know, of yourself or, you know, just to create something that will last forever because nothing does.
Yeah.
So now you're living a reality. Once you accept that nothingness, you live the reality of how that is the truth already, you know, and the fear goes away because you accept it. You don't fight fear. That's a really common misconception.
Mm-hmm.
You surrender to it. That's how you win. Is you stop fighting. You ever heard of someone who gets cancer and they stop fighting and then it goes away?
Yeah.
That's really common, you know?
Yeah.
They stop fighting altogether. They're like, nope, I'm not doing anything. I'm just surrendering to the cancer. If it kills me, it kills me. If it doesn't kill me, it doesn't kill me, but it doesn't matter anymore. You know? They wake up and all of a sudden the cancer goes away. Strange that would happen, right? The exact opposite should happen in theory.
Yeah.
There's something that I don't know what it is. I'm not saying that something's guiding us or what. I don't know anything about that. But there seems to be a very clear rules for this life, for existence. And surrender is one of those rules.
What's your viewpoint on children? I mean, have you or Kelsey ever thought about?
Yeah, we've definitely talked about having kids often.
Okay.
What's your,
do you think when you have kids, you have a certain attachment? Like a container now, like you're carrying around with you?
If I do, I won't anymore. You know what I mean? That's a strange thing to say, but if I find that I do have an attachment, then it doesn't matter. I have truth at any cost, and the truth is that attachments don't exist, or containers don't exist, you know? So if it means that I can't be attached to the kid, then I can't, you know? If it means that someone else has to take the kid, that's fine, you know? If the only way that I'll raise a child is if I can do it without a container, because I'm not going to believe a lie. It's just not going to happen. I want truth at any cost. It doesn't mean I'm going to get there and then all of a sudden, you know, never mind, this is different now. I'm going to go back. I'm not going back. There's no going back. You know? You can't go back. Once you taste the freedom of reality, you can't go back to fantasy. It's not even close. Fantasy is like a... It's like everyone's existing. I mean, it's like watching everyone exist in an amusement park with their eyes shut, standing in line. and they're not, no one's getting on the rides. And you're the only one with your eyes open. You're like, why? Why would no one want to get on the rides? This is like, what the whole thing's about is getting on the rides. You're not alive until you don't believe any lies anymore. Then you're alive. That's when life really starts. You know, it's very strange to think that you can go your whole life and not. You can, of course, lots of people do. Go their entire lives. Most people.
Yeah, exactly.
And then and never even live a single day. Not a single day of their lives do they live for real. Because they're believing in lies the whole time, so they can't see the reality. So, I don't know. I mean, if I do have kids someday, I don't know if I will, but I'm not going to be trying to unless all of a sudden we decide to try to, and we'll only do that if it makes sense. But, you know, I'm not going to try not to have kids, but I'm also not going to try to have kids.
Yeah.
I'm going to practice. That seems to be a very fun thing to do. You know? But that's about as far as I go right now. Kelsey's, her like, thought back and forth forever was that she wanted to have kids. She's like, kids, kids, kids. Now she's like, I don't know. For the first time ever, she's like, I don't know if I want to have kids. You know? It's crazy, huh?
I mean, when you think about nature in general, now you might say this is a lie too, I don't know. But I mean, isn't it a natural female instinct to have kids?
I don't know.
I'm sure you've talked about it because
I never talked about that with her because that doesn't even, it's kind of an unimportant point, you know? Because what you're asking me is there a truth besides I don't know? And the answer is no. Right? There's no truth besides I don't know. If you want to get more detailed, that's still going to be the answer.
I don't know.
No matter what happens, that's still going to be the answer. I don't know if there is a natural instinct or not, but I don't know. If there was a natural instinct, would that mean that you couldn't fight it? And if you can fight it, what makes it a natural instinct then?
But why would you want to fight it?
Well, why would you want to go with it?
Because it's a natural instinct.
If it is, but if you can fight it, then is it a natural instinct?
Question.
I don't know, right? I don't know either. Like, I think that the real question is, what is a natural instinct? You know, and is there really any such thing as a natural instinct?
But isn't that what keeps us as a human race going? I mean, if
we
stop reproducing, we would be dead a long time ago.
You won't die if you stop reproducing. You've already been reproduced, you know? What
then
makes
I mean
you think
us
that,
as a human
you know,
race?
Yeah, but what
I
makes you think that
me.
You have to carry the fate of the human race? You don't.
No, I don't.
And if the whole world woke up right now, maybe we would. I don't know. I don't know how that would work. I have no idea. But that isn't really my concern. I don't care. The whole world's here for me. I'm not here for it. It's the other way around, you know? I'm not here to perpetuate the whole universe existing. The whole universe is here for my amusement, to perpetuate my existence as long as I'm alive. That's how it is for me. That's the truth. That's the total truth. So thinking about it the way that you're saying is a little odd to me now, you know, because that assumes that there's something I need to be doing, that there's a purpose, but that's a lie, you know. What you're asking me really right now is there really no point? Is there really no point to living? There's got to be a point. That's what you're experiencing right now. That's okay. I totally understand that process. And as you go through it, the reason why you're not arguing with me about it is because everything I'm saying makes total fucking sense. And everything that everyone else is saying is not making any
sense.
I know. And the other stuff doesn't. So you're like, wait a second.
I'm questioning my own.
I know. And that's good. That's why you're here, it seems.
Yeah.
You know? But either way, yeah, that's what you're doing is great. Keep doing it. And I'm going to tell you, though, that eventually, unless you give up and you give in to the fear and you're afraid and you don't do this anymore because you're like, I can't handle this, like not having a reality thing. If you give up on that, then you can go back to sleeping again, you know? I'm not going to go back to sleeping again. I can't, you know? Got to watch The Matrix, by the way.
There's
a lot of really cool parallels, you know?
Yeah.
There's a guy named Cypher in The Matrix who tries to make a deal to get reinserted back into The Matrix once he wakes up. And you'll understand once you watch it. It's like, it's really cool. But anyway, so I can't go back. There's no going back. I can't live a lie for myself, so I'm not going back there. That was when I made the decision to have truth at any cost. That's what I meant. I knew it was going to be at some crazy cost, and the cost is always you, you know, yourself. whatever you think is you, it goes away, it dies, you know. And then born again, you still have the words, I still have the, I had the memories of my childhood and stuff, but that shit is totally unimportant now, you know. That's weird, huh? Because
yeah,
because the memories of your childhood make up who you are,
exactly.
You know, but not me. I don't understand that, really. That doesn't make any sense to me. So, anyway, so the process that you're going through right now is sort of like a verbal spiritual autolysis. The thing I was telling you about where you write down a bunch of shit. Here's the process for spiritual autolysis. If you want to wake up, here's the recipe. Try to write something down that's true. And then keep doing it until you do it, until you get it, until you get something that's true. Keep questioning it over and over and over again. And poke holes in it. If you can poke one hole in it at all, find one example to the contrary, even if it's a hypothetical example to the contrary, then it's not true. Truth is 100% true all the time, always. False is anything but 100% true. It could be 99.999% true. But if it's not 100% true, it's not truth. So, now you have a mission. You know, you're going through it verbally right now, which is what I did whenever I woke up the first time. This is the path, though. You're standing at the doorway right now. This is what the doorway looks like. It's an interesting doorway. It's an interesting process. I know we jumped. I know this seems to be the most important thing. It's definitely more important than anything else we've talked about. So if you guys have any other questions, in my mind, please. Let me explain how I think about that, by the way. To anyone who is asleep, to anyone who has ego, I think it's crazy to have any goal above waking up. If you're asleep, the only goal is to wake up. That's the only goal in your life. That's kind of what Moby Dick's about, honestly. It's about a guy who's got one goal only, and that goal is to kill the white whale, to kill Moby Dick, and nothing else matters. There's a did I tell you guys this? I'm not sure if I did, but there's a part where the ship docks up next to the Pequod, which is the ship where Captain Ahab is the captain. And they dock, and one of the guys in the other ship was a captain, a friend of Ahab's back in Nantucket. And he had a son that was very much like about the same age almost as Ahab's son also. And they knew each other. Did I tell this story yet? No?
Not that part of it.
So when they dock, Ahab always asks the same question, have you seen the white whale, right? In this case, obviously, it's a metaphor. Have you, you know, how do I find my fear? That's what he asks everyone. And when they say, in this case, they say yes, they've seen him, so they know. He knows that he's close, and he's ready for the hunt. But the other captain boards the Pequod, and he starts pleading with Ahab, and he tells Ahab that his son, who Ahab knows, is when they were out whaling, they lost him. He lost his son, and he's been gone for 48 hours in this tiny rowboat in the middle of the ocean, and they need to find him, or he's going to die, you know? And all he asks is to charter the Pequod for a very short period of time to try to find his son, to see if he can help, you know, recover his son. And he's got this long plea, like it's a very convincing plea, you know? Hey, please, and basically what he's asking him to do is asking him to stop his search just for a couple of days so he can help do something right in the world, right? And after he's done, Ahab just takes it all in and he says, don't touch a single line on my boat. And he's like, I'm very sorry for you and maybe you'll hate me forever for this, but you have to get off now and I have to go find Moby Dick. He's like, please, go away. You know, I have my path, basically. You have yours and I have mine. Go handle yours, you know? And in this way, he says, there's only one thing for Ahab above everything else, and that is waking up. That's what that book's about, you know? That's what you have to become. You have to become a maniac. Like a narrow-minded and only have one goal. And the only one goal that you should have if you're asleep is to wake up to experience the world. I mean, if you're going to have a goal, that's the one. You know? All of this other dating, picking up chicks thing is just kind of a side note that distracts you from waking up, really. You know, you can stick around in it. If it's part of your fear, then you have to face it, you know? You have to push forward through the picking up girls thing. If it's part of your fear, because that's part of the whale, you know? That's how you find the true fear, is you go through the other fears. You surrender to the other fears. Does this make sense?
Mm-hmm.
But once you've gone past all the fears around this, you can move on to the next one. And you just keep annihilating all your fears until there's nothing left. You know? And eventually there will be nothing left. That sounds crazy, but there will be nothing left. When you're looking at me now, you can see this, that there's nothing left in me, at least. You know, I can talk to you, but it doesn't matter what happens to me now. You know, the worst horrors you can imagine now don't scare me anymore. And that's weird to me, because I spent my entire life being scared of something. Anything. The boogeyman under the bed, anything, you know? Like, even, like, standing up and walking to the bathroom at nighttime, I would imagine something getting me in the hallway. Even, like, recently, you know? Like, a couple days ago, I was like, oh, I gotta go to the bathroom. I'm laying in the bed, and, like, just go to the bathroom, but what if there's somebody in there? You know, like, totally irrational, silly things that I'm thinking, but it's possible, you know? The thing is that the fear owns you forever until you face it, until you surrender to it. So you realize it's an absolute possibility that there could be something in there. And then when you go to the bathroom, the illusion that you're safe because the door's locked is really just that. It's an illusion, you know? I wrote a book about, for the USCCA, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the Handgun Association for the U.S. Brad used to work for that company. I've never shot a handgun or even owned a handgun, but I wrote a book about how to recognize threatening body language. And woven into that book was a concept that I think was really fitting here. And that is, at one point in the book I write, without taking your eyes up from this page, I want you to tell me the possibility that someone, what you think the possibility is that someone is standing behind you with a gun to your head right now, that you don't even know they're there. You don't know how they got in. The gun's loaded and they're about to blow your brains out right now, in this moment. If the possibility is anything except anything above 0%, then you're being honest. You know, truth is, if it's not 100% possibility, then you're lying to yourself. It's 100% a possibility that someone's standing there with a gun to your head right now. You know, can you kind of feel it burning through the back of your head? Like, can you feel the presence of a gun being pointed in the back of your head right now? You know, it's there because it's a possibility. It could happen. It's the illusion that you're safe that keeps you actually at risk. It's not the illusion of risk that keeps you at risk. Like, if you think that you're not safe, then you're living a reality. If you think that you're safe, then you drop your guard, basically. Now, in that case, I was talking to people who own handguns for personal protection. Almost 100% of those people are owning those handguns because they have lack of control, and they want to have more control. So I know what their main fear is. Their fear is helplessness, you know? So that's something they have to face. They have to accept the idea that the gun isn't going to help them, that if it ever comes time to use the gun, it'll just happen, and they'll do it. But they won't be able to think about using it or plan to use it or anything like that. It won't work, you know. That was kind of my point. That may have gone over all the heads of everybody who read it, but it doesn't matter to me, you know. That was just a really important point for me to say. Anyway, so having that illusion that you already have control is really where all the fear comes in there. It's just a bunch of illusions. It's just a lie, you know. So, are there any other questions? You guys have any questions? If you want to, you can go further into that. I'm going to teach you the rest of the stuff anyway. So, regardless of whether or not you ask more questions, I'll always jump back to the material at some point. So, yeah.
I got the big problem with my letting go of my ex-girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
That's really holding me back and controlling my mind, and I try to avoid it. Let go.
Uh-huh.
But it's not working for me that good.
Okay. So the easiest thing to think about the easiest way to realize something revolving around letting go is that you can't let go of something. Do you know why? Because you don't have it.
Okay.
Like, if I asked you to let go of that paper plate that you have, could you let go of it?
Sure.
Okay, well, show me. That's not a paper plate. That's your notebook.
Okay, what's a paper plate?
A paper plate is like a plate that you eat off of. Okay, just like let go of the fork that you have.
I have a fork, so I can't let go.
Well, then you can't let go, can you?
Yeah.
But if you think you have a fork and you try to let go, It's impossible. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure.
If you think you have something and you don't, you can't let go of it. Because you don't know how to. There's nothing there to let go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you don't have your ex-girlfriend. You never had your ex-girlfriend. That's the realization you don't have. You haven't had yet that you need to accept. You never had her. She was never yours in the first place. So that's why you can't let go of her. Because you never had her. Is that clear?
Yeah.
So what you really need to do, instead of thinking about letting go of her, is realize that you never had her. For real. Like, let that sink in. Fully. Then you don't have to worry about it anymore. Yes, that's one of those things you got to think about. For sure. Anything else?
I think on a more practical note, it helps to just, the more girls you meet, like, to for getting over an ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, but if you do that just to get over, you know it makes it worse. You know what that's like, you know?
Yeah.
If you're thinking about getting over your ex as you meet new girls,
right?
It just makes it worse and worse and worse and worse. You know, it's like you ever get a cut at the top of your roof of your mouth? And it won't heal because you keep, like, sticking your tongue in it,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so it just stays there and hurts forever. That's kind of, like, what it's like whenever you try to do something like that to let go of someone.
Yeah.
But I agree. Once you start to experience other things, you realize that you never had her. That's what you realize.
Yeah. And you realize that there are so many other girls out there that are different and that are better. And you don't realize that until you start meeting more of them, that she might not be as great as you think she was by comparison.
Mm-hmm.
But you really need
yeah.
a comparison to see that. Because otherwise you'll end up comparing every girl to her and thinking that she was the greatest.
Yeah. Well, I did that with Kelsey, though. It couldn't work, you know?
One of the big problems is
that no girl was as good as us.
That you have the ideal picture of her in your mind.
Uh-huh.
And she's probably not like that, but you're comparing everybody to the ideal picture.
But yeah, but that's not even her.
Yeah,
you
know
what I mean? That's just your image of her. And I think your image of her kind of represents whatever insecurity you have about women.
Yeah.
That's how it was for me. I had some image of my head of my ex-girlfriend. And I had to realize that it was just an image. When her actual in reality, like the way she is, was not that person. I was just hoping and wishing that was her person, that was who she was. And I was clinging to that image that I had. And that image comes out of whatever you're insecure about women or about yourself. It really has to do with, it had to do with myself. It also helps to remove anything that reminds you of her from your life. Like, listen to different music. I rearranged my whole house, my whole bedroom, so I didn't have, like, you anchor memories to certain physical things in your life.
Yeah.
I started walking different ways in my neighborhood. I started going to different bars, different places, like, change everything physically so that it doesn't remind you of your relationship anymore.
Yeah.
And then you don't have things around you that trigger memories of her. You just don't have things, because you can say, don't think about her, don't think about her, don't think about her. But you're still going to think about her, and then things in your life are going to continue making you think about her. But really, you just want to not think about her anymore, period.
Well, there are two ways to do this. One way is to numb your mind, and the other way is to strengthen it. I think that if you can't strengthen it, you have to numb it first. That's really part of the process, you know. But don't think that you can just numb it, and then that's the end of it, you know. Well, if you go through that process, I mean, I did this for 8 years. Kelsey, trust me, it doesn't go away. It's always there. Somewhere deep, deep, deep down, it's always there. You know, the only way that you can let go, the only way we're really truly to let go.
That's one of my biggest fears.
I think it's a reasonable fear, you know? So, if that's a reasonable fear, what should you do? You gotta surrender to it. What's the worst case scenario? That you live your life forever like that? That you never find any woman ever again? That you're always lonely? That she marries someone way cooler and better than you in every way possible? And then they strut around, and then they get famous, and then she tells a story about how she left you. It was the best decision she ever made. You get singled out, you know? No one wants to be friends with you anymore, and you're totally isolated. That's kind of a pretty shitty thing, right? But what if that happened? What would you do? Something.
Yeah.
You just live some other way. Who knows? But you have to come to terms with that and be at peace with it, you know? The hard part is, again, you can't let go of something you don't have, right? You don't have it. That's really that. At the end of the day, you know, you don't have your ex-girlfriend. You never had your ex-girlfriend. It was you. You're the reason why you're experiencing this. This is kind of what Connor's saying. It wasn't someone outside of you. It was you. It's been you the whole time, you know. You never had her. You never will have her. But you'll never have any other girl either or anybody else, you know. The thing that you're looking for is you're trying to avoid the truth, which is that you're alone, like ultimately. But this is like the most amazing shit in the universe. Yesterday, whenever we saw the Fight Club thing, what was he saying? So this is the greatest moment of your life and you're off somewhere being miserable. You know? That's kind of how it is. The greatest realization in your life is that you're alone.
Yeah.
You know? It's amazing because you can do whatever you want to. But you're off somewhere being miserable because you think that you're not or you think you shouldn't be. You know? That's really what you're facing right now.
I got that realization after the day we broke up.
Well, then you gotta let it sink in. It didn't sink in, whatever it is. Like, if you think alone, you probably have a consolation. Like, there's probably something like, well, I'm alone, but
I have my mom,
right? I have friends, I have something, right? But nope. All of that shit has to go. All of it. Fire, like I said, fire won't go, I'll burn everything but that table, because that table can stay. It's like, no, if it burns, if it's burnable, it will burn. And everything is burnable in your mind. All of the relations and associations that you have will burn. You know? It's really a violent way of thinking about it, but it is the truth, you know. It's my experience, at least, that is what happens. How do you truly become free from your ex-girlfriend? Well, the truth is that you have to realize you never had her, and you never had anything. Oh, it's the most freeing thing in the universe, but before you are free from it, you experience premature enlightenment. The searing, terrible pain of wanting to hang on, of wanting it to not be true. But the truth is so much better than the fantasy, I promise. Fantasy that you're thinking of in your head? Imagine it works out. Imagine that she comes crawling back to you, you know, let's say. And maybe you wouldn't take her back, right? But imagine that the fantasy then is that she always crawls back to you, always, forever. Any girl you date, she's like, anytime, no matter what happens in my life, if you ever want me, I will always be here for you. And as you age, she doesn't. She stays hot forever, you know? Like, imagine that, life. Right? The second you decide to be with her, it's over for you. You know? The second you, like, you go, okay, I got what I wanted, here I am. You know? I'm doing this. It's over. Because you're trying to get something. You're trying to have something right now. You can't have anything. So, anyway, it's a weird thing to think about. You're going to have to meditate on that for a little while.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, if it takes you a little while, then I think that meeting other girls would be very fun for you, you know?
I do.
But whenever you meet a new girl, it should all serve this purpose. It should all serve the purpose to remind you that you don't own anything and you can't have anyone or anything, including relationships, you know? So, I mean, you can experience a relationship if you want to, but if you are going to find another girl and date her, you need to go into it with this mindset. Everything in your life is going to serve this lesson. Whatever this lesson is, that's the only thing that matters. It's part of your waking up process. You have to face it. So, nothing else matters. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that is going to be an interesting one for you, but it's what true manhood is. It is.
Okay.
Realizing you're alone, and that's awesome. You know, like
that's pretty much that.
Yeah, and that the whole world is here for you. The whole universe, everything. Not just the universe. The universe is physical. Everything. Every experience that happens in the entire everything. Is for you. That's the really cool thing. When you realize you're alone, you're like, well, if I'm alone and all this stuff is still happening around me, then it must all be for me. And then you start to see weird shit happen, like weird coincidences that you can't explain. And that's what's called being in flow. In flow state, you ever heard that before?
Sure.
It's like when someone can do no wrong.
Felicity. Yeah. Flow is like, yeah.
Yeah. That concept is what I'm talking about. You can't do it if you're carrying shit with you, like lies with you. You can't be in flow. You're like swimming upstream trying to get something, you know, but you can't get anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's kind of my point. It's an interesting thing, but trying to let go of everything so you can be in flow doesn't work. I just want to let you know that once you get here, shit's fine, you know. And I say here because I am in flow, and I think that you guys can clearly see that I am. That's one of the reasons why you're here, I think. Is there anything else? Anyone?
On the first day, you said, like, the eighth function was pattern recognition. Just, where does that come from? Like, can I read a book about that?
The eighth function?
Is the eighth function.
Oh, ENTP probably is what I'm thinking.
Oh, okay.
An ENTP function, which is a extroverted intuitive thinker-receiver, which is what I am, on the Myers-Briggs.
Okay.
The genius function for an ENTP and for an ENFP, is pattern recognition.
Okay. Okay. Thanks.
You know, that's just what that is. But anybody can have that as a genius. You just have to practice it. You know, you have
yeah.
to see it. I just happen to have that as a natural tendency. But maybe, I don't know. Maybe it's the other way around. Maybe that tendency came became built up because of something, and then my personality type was built on top of that. I don't know. I don't know. It really doesn't matter to me. But the pattern recognition thing. If you do want to learn more about it, I think that Cameron Huff would be the person to talk to.
Cameron
Huff.
Huff?
Yeah, there's some interviews I did with him in the members area. One in particular is in a program that now you'll have access to called Bedroom Rockstar. There's
okay.
there's a little audio interview between me and him called Playboy in a Day. He's an INTJ on the Myers-Briggs type, and he talks about how you can spot girls that'll have sex with you faster, which is really interesting. So, like, what tendencies you can see in women that'll make it counterintuitive, but what tendencies lead up to, same-night sex, which girls are more traditional, things like that. I checked that out, but even more cool than cooler than the content that he's saying is what it's all based on. I think that's really neat.
Okay.
It's kind of like a personality system that Jung created, which is based on which is what created Myers-Briggs, you know?
Yeah.
Eventually. And then he took it, kind of takes it a step further to go into functions of Myers-Briggs combinations. Like, if you're this combination, this is your major skill set, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay.
You can be good at everything
yeah.
at once. Just, you have to transcend the system in order to do that. That's a little weird.
Yeah.
Ultimately, that will distract you, but the information's there for you. The decision's always going to be there for you to make, so if you want to be distracted, then you'll just choose to do that. That's how it is. No. Anyone else? No? No? Okay. You guys want to continue through the material now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. Let's do that. All right. We have the banter cheat sheets, right?
Yeah.
Let's pass those out. That would be a good one. And then I think we'll go over dominant body language a little bit more and teach you guys how to handle your default state, you know? Okay. So in front of you have a list of a long list of banter lines that are sort of broken down into different areas. Go through, and anyone you can imagine yourself saying, I want you to circle. Just as many as you can imagine yourself saying comfortably, go ahead and circle right now. So go ahead and go through this and read through it and just do that. If it's only a few of them, if it's none of them, doesn't matter. Just watch and let it happen. If it's everything, then for those of you who are done, so I think you two are already finished, go through now and find, underline all the ones that you would never say in a million years. Like, you just would not say these things. They're just impossible. Not impossible, but they're just not what you want to say.
So, a question about the before, about the way of life. It's what you're talking about, surrendering. Is it the same like embracing the fears?
No.
Giving up.
Giving up, really.
Giving up your fears.
No, giving up.
To the fear.
To the fear.
Let the fear take it.
Like not fighting.
Or not fighting, let it come over it.
Yeah,
fear
let
come
let
over
it,
you.
Yeah,
and
let it totally own you.
Because during the time where you're talking about that, I was also thinking about my fears, my personal life in the past and now, you know? So everything where I'm fearful at for work, personal things, personal matter, whatsoever, it's just look for it and go look for the fear where it is and take it, come over it. Just
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, but
because now when I have a fear thing or something else, you walk away from the thing. You know?
That's the natural tendency. Well, not natural. That's actually unnatural. But yeah, that's what most people do. You know, they run away from it, but then it just chases you. It's always there.
Yeah.
You know, you can't avoid it. So then it owns you.
It's always in the back of your mind, also.
It just owns you. Then you're in captivity. Then, so rather than live a life in captivity, which I don't want to do, I'd rather die. I'd rather die than live a life of captivity, you know? Even if it was, and, you know, the chances that you're going to overcome all your fears are so low. I mean, they're super low.
Uh-huh.
You're up against, and you need to know that, because if you think that you're up against something that you have a really good chance of winning, it's like, you go into it with the wrong mindset. You have to know that you're going to lose going in, and that you are going to die with your fear. Like, your ego will die, totally. And that's a scary fucking thing. Really scary. So, yeah, it's kind of like whatever it is, you imagine it as being the truth, you know? There are lots of ways of doing that. There are lots of ways of accepting your fear, but almost always it doesn't seem normal. It's not normal, you know? Normal, unfortunately, is running away from your fears for your entire life. That's what normal is. I don't want that. So that's not what I'm going to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's a weird thing, huh?
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But I'm also thinking about how can I do it for the future now. For
it's so simple.
Okay. For for example, I have a long time ago, or a long time period, I think I want to make my own business, so speaking. But on the other side, I have my my family experience. They went bad with the own business, you know, bankruptcy, that kind of things, you know. So my plan was also, yeah, that things can also go happen to me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a fear.
Mm-hmm.
What I think and what you heard from you now, it's think, just go for it and come over it, you know.
Well, yeah, possibly, but really, what you need what. What I'm asking you to do is imagine the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
Like absolute worst. Not like pretty bad, but
really,
really
bad.
Really, really worst. Yes. Like, and then
you're bankrupted, you take everything, you take your house, you take your family, you take everything.
You take everything. And your family hates you forever, and you lose all your friends and respect from anybody. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And then sit with that and accept that that's going to happen.
Okay.
As if it's inevitable, as if it is definitely going to happen.
Uh-huh.
As soon as you sit with that and the fear totally overcomes you, and it'll make you weird for a couple of days, maybe even longer, you know? Maybe it will always make you weird. Maybe you'll never be able to overcome it. I don't know.
Okay.
But you have to. You have to at least try, too, you know? And in fact, you can't try. You have to, even if you don't know how to do it. So you face it, and the fear takes you over, and then eventually you don't have a fear anymore. You're sitting there in that place, and you're okay. When you're okay in that place, then you ask yourself, what do you want to do? Do you want to start a business? You know, whatever it is. But whatever it is from that place, you're not doing it from fear, so you're fine. You know, you know what I mean? But the business has, you'll probably find that money has nothing to do with anything at that point.
Exactly.
You know?
What you say also, at the final point, nothing else matters.
No, it doesn't. Yeah.
So,
that's
money,
the,
because of the whole environment of this world is creating like this, what we know now.
Yeah.
From the blind side, so to speak.
Yeah. And that's understandable because that's what we were taught when we were little. But, you know, we're grown-ass men now, so it's time to stop, you know.
Yeah.
You guys have all your lists now, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to go through this list now, and the stuff that you circled, I want you to find three of those that you like the most, your three favorites.
In each section? Or
no, just three total. It can be in whatever sections you want. And I want you to rewrite them in your notes. Out in your own handwriting. So one at a time, the three that you like in a row. And then I want you to find the one that is the most uncomfortable for you to say. Actually, no. Find the one that's the most comfortable of the underlined. Like the least, you know, the ones you underlined were the least comfortable ones, the ones that you don't want to say. Find one of those that you, that isn't as bad as the rest, and write that one down as well. Okay?
The least uncomfortable.
Yeah, the most comfortable of the bads, right? The best of the worst, I guess. In that case,
what is this like?
Spiritual Enlightenment, the Damnedest Thing.
Oh, okay, that's okay.
That's what you're reading,
and it's on Kindle. Sweet, so I can download it.
Yep.
Thanks. It's good.
It's ridiculous, huh?
Yeah.
It's the only book I've read. Like that's. Oh yeah,
that's
well,
just,
his books. You know,
yeah.
All of his books are like this. They're just. He's not bullshitting, you know.
It's fucking. All right, so what was I supposed to do with this?
Write down, handwrite your top three ones that you circled.
Oh, rewrite them in my own...
In your own words, so on your paper.
Okay.
And then you only underlined one, right?
Yeah.
So you'll write that one down, too. Gotcha.
Rewrite that in my own words?
No, you use the same words that it says, but you just rewrite in your own handwriting, essentially.
Oh, okay. But the top two that I circled, I rewrote my own words, or just rewrote?
No, just in your own handwriting, in your book.
Oh,
like you're just
okay.
Going to script them out, you know.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
I kind of got...
No, that's understandable. Trust me. Totally understandable.
I was in there.
Yeah. So am I. Okay, cool. Jacob?
Yeah, I pretty much got the same as I did. I got note to self, do not date her.
That was a different one?
Yeah.
What were the other two that you said?
Let's see if we can find a man for you.
Mm-hmm.
And did you come over? You just flow.
Okay, yeah. What about the one that was the
least fit? Same.
Same one.
Yeah.
Oh, okay,
that's
pretty funny. Okay, Renee.
Yeah, thanks.
Imagine doing it like the same.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to do this in front of your friends, but we are true.
Okay, there's that one.
It was your cult name.
Yeah.
The other one, you must be driving your parents crazy, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Must be driving your parents crazy.
Just
yeah.
Sort of yesterday when we were conversation with American girls, you know, it was also a moment, I can say that also, you know?
Yeah, yeah, totally.
But in it's a band line in through the conversation.
Yeah.
It's possible?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you can, as long as you're bantering, you're fine. But if you're in rapport, you can't do that, you know?
Okay.
If you're like having a really serious conversation, you don't banter.
Okay.
But this is all for the beginning anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that was two, right?
Yeah.
And then what was
the
third one?
The other for drive-by. Hey, it's you. I can be talking to you again. I will be right back.
Yeah, yeah, okay, good. And what's the one that you was...
difficult. It was difficult.
Yeah.
What I don't say, it was... did you come over here and just flirt with me?
Oh, okay. That's funny how these are... Some people see these as difficult. Like, the one that you said was difficult for you was both of their easy ones? And then one of the ones that you said was your easy ones was the difficult one for both of them.
Yeah,
you know, that's pretty funny. So that's good. So you have three, you have four, right? That was four.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all. That's all you had to do.
Okay.
So if you wrote those down, then you're fine. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'll get to what you're going to do with these in a minute. So, what about you, Roberto?
Most of them I thought were pretty easy. The ones I've used in the past were like "Welcome to Wherever," "Glad to Make It."
Okay.
Is that what you say to all the guys?
Uh-huh.
And "Hey, how's it going?" Or like blank or blank.
What's that? What was that?
"Hey, how's it going?" Or like your shirt, earrings, nail polish.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the hard one, the only one I circled, was "You're my new girlfriend for the night."
Ah, that's a really good one though. Holy crap.
Yeah.
That one's a fantastic one. Yeah. Okay. And then what about you, Alberto? And speak up.
We'd never get along. We'd fight all the time.
Uh-huh. And I'd win.
Yeah. Let's see if we can find your man. And, how is it going? I really like your style and so on.
Okay. And what was the one of the ones that was hard?
Hey guys, drinking beers. Alright, see you later.
Hey guys, drinking beers. Alright, see you later.
Yeah.
Do you know how that's delivered? It's like, hey guys, drinking beers. Alright, see you later. And then you leave. It's like that. It's like, hey guys, so drinking beers, huh?
Without people.
No, not like
that's
that.
Kind of mean.
Just like drinking beers, huh? Cool. See ya. And then you leave. It's like has nothing to do with anything.
Isn't that mean?
No, how's that mean? Would you be offended if I did that?
Just sitting there drinking beer doing nothing. I would maybe interpret it as you like saying, hey guys, just drinking beer doing nothing.
No. I mean, I've never had anybody say that before. No one took it the wrong way. Because everyone goes, and? You know? Because obviously I'm going somewhere with this, right?
But you're not.
Nope, but I'm not. That's the whole point. It's like they think I'm going somewhere. And then I'm like, so, drinking beer, huh? Bye. You know? And they're like, what is going on? That was that's a staple for me. So what I want you guys to do is these are going to be your banner lines that I want you to work on. I want you to use these. So don't worry about any other banner lines for now. You have to memorize these, though. Like, you have to say them. Normally, I'd go through in the class and do a bunch of drills to make sure you remember them. But honestly, I'm just going to let you do that on your own. Just memorize it. Say it a bunch over and over and over again so you can get used to it. The best way that I found to do it is just to say it out loud, like, as much as you can. Pick one at a time and start to integrate it into your normal talking, you know? The easiest one first, whichever one you think you can do in like an average situation, you know? Start with that one, but don't stop there, okay? Start with that one, and then go through all the easy ones until you're saying all three of them naturally in your conversation. Until you can go like a day, you know, it might take a couple weeks or something, you know, it's possible. But until you can go a day where like, you know, whenever it's the right time to pick one of them up and say it, you do that, right? You say the right one whenever it's time. And then you take the hard one, and then it's your mission to put that into your natural conversation, okay? So it's not the hardest one that was on the list. It was just it was the easiest of all the hard ones, you know? So it's not going to be impossible or anything like that. It's important, though, that you do all four of these, that you integrate all four of these, because when you use the other one, the last one, that you were a little bit uncomfortable using, it frees you. When you realize how well it works and how easy it is, it frees you up to do anything. You realize you can do anything you want. You can say whatever you want to. Like, you can't be like, you have a very nice ass, you know? That might be something that's very strange to say. If I said, okay, go up to that girl and tell her she has a nice ass, you'd be like, I don't want to do that. Be really uncomfortable. Yeah. I mean, but I've had girls go, you want to spank me? You know, when I say that. And I'm like, yeah. You know? They're like, ooh, you know, whatever. It's fun to do that. But if you don't, you won't know the reaction until you start doing this stuff, you know? So use the easy ones first because you'll be more confident with those and you'll have enough momentum to push through and make it through the other side, you know? And then you'll have the hard one later. You'll add that one after you've added in the third one that works, you add in the fourth one, and that's kind of like the, you know, the final boss, so to speak, you know, with that. Normally I'd go through kind of a recap, but I don't think that we need to do that. We've been kind of going over a whole lot of shit. What I'd rather do instead of doing a recap is take this time to answer any final questions that you guys might have about anything. Of course, as we hang out later, we're probably going to go grab a hookah here in a little while.
Is that around here?
Yeah, this one, like...
perfect.
It's like you can swing a dead cat and hit it from here.
Dead cat? Is that a southern thing?
I don't know, I just made it up.
Oh, okay.
There was a... I didn't just make it up, though.
Right.
I made it up a while ago.
Okay.
It was one of those things that I was like, how can I say that in a really weird way? Like,
okay.
You can't throw a rock without hitting it. I was like, what else can't you do? Anyway, so you can't swing a dead cat without hitting a hookah bar around here.
Sounds, really, the street that we went to in London, you couldn't. There were like 10 on one street.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
That
it's
is
just
nice.
The one Arab neighborhood where
that's
they all
that's the hookah district.
Yeah. Shisha, they call it Shisha there.
Oh, Shisha, that's right. They do that here, too, actually.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll be hanging out still. So you guys will have not too late into the evening. Probably head out whenever I'm ready to go home or whatever, because class will be over and this is all done. So, but you guys can all hang out and talk about whatever and anything you want. I'll turn away from this person and into who I actually am.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you do that, which is interesting, It's closer to this now, actually, than I have been the whole time you've been talking to me. Or I've been teaching, rather. So, anyway, before I get into that, though, I'd like to answer any questions you guys have about any material. So, I'm going to give you a moment to go through your notes and kind of star things that you want to ask me questions about. I'm going to go to the bathroom while you do that. And then when I come back, any questions that you guys have at all about what you learned, I'd love to answer and talk more about. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Are you okay?
Mm-hmm.
Are you all right? Or
yeah.
Are you just thinking about stuff?
Just thinking about stuff.
Oh,
right.
I can't tell if you're like...
That's a thoughtful look.
Yeah, it is. Well, when people do this, and they have one finger over their mouth like this, it usually means they have something
they don't want to say.
Yeah, yeah.
No, this is sort of a placeholder, because normally it's sort of beards.
Ah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like, look, I'm thinking.
Yeah. Look at me.
But this is just, I'm so tired, I'm like... Mm. No, well, I do have one question, which was unrelated to the material, but a good way to... get into the training program. Because you talked about the 2-week high. Here's what I take away from this. I've got a fuckload of work to do.
Yeah, that's true.
I think it's easier just to dive right the fuck into it.
Yeah.
Maintain it rather than right tomorrow I'm on a bus for Estonia.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I think the easy thing would be like, oh no, I'm just going to go to Estonia, then I'll do it. No. Now I'm going to walk dominantly with all my shit to the bus station.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm just trying to think of a good... same thing I asked Brad, actually, was a training program or how to...
Like a plan going forward.
Yeah.
Well, there's two
you
things.
You make good words.
You're top nice.
What do you do next?
Yeah.
Yeah,
so there are two things that are important. One is that now you have access to all... You've got unlocked all of the material in the Dalabas. Which is in the members area, which you've never even seen before, which is a whole fucking world.
Are you guys all using the members area?
He wasn't, because
okay.
He downloaded the book.
Okay.
But he will now, because he's
right.
Going to be a member now.
Cool. So, yeah, you all have access to everything that we've ever created so far. So
you should have that in your email, that whatever email you gave Connor or whatever email you were using before should be the one that is
right.
Set up
yeah.
on. So log in there, start exploring stuff in there. You have to... explore everything there. That's like a lot of information in there. You're going to
mm-hmm.
be like, you'll be busy for a very long time as far as new information goes, right? Besides that, though, we have calls. How often do those calls
yeah,
happen?
Yeah, so once every 2 weeks or so. I'm going to make sure you guys are all included on this because I don't think all of you are right now. We have a coaching call for all of our coaching clients where one of us, usually I lead the call and Brad's on it and a couple other of our coaches that you haven't met. And we talk about a different topic
And then for about half an hour, we'll talk and then open it up for questions. So anytime you guys have questions, you want to call in. I'm going to be doing the next one either, I think, Monday or Tuesday, maybe Wednesday, although I think I'll be traveling Wednesday. And since we're in Europe, it'll be on your time zone. Sometimes it's the time zones are off. But anytime you miss a call, yeah, we record them all, and you can download them. I send out the page that you can download them from. So that's kind of a cool, like, continuity to hold yourself accountable and still talk to us. I would just add that even though you have all these products now and, like, a lot of reading to do, I wouldn't just dive right into reading a lot. I would definitely make sure that anything you read, you pick at least one thing and go out and start doing a lot, because you'll get stuck in, like he said, paralysis by analysis, where you know a ton of shit and you can't act on any of it. A lot of guys just get a lot of products and read them, but they never actually apply it. And I'd rather see you guys just read one book and apply everything than read them all and do nothing. You know?
Yeah, or read them all and do one thing.
Right.
You'll have a lot of guys that you'll meet that get stuck in this, like, pickup artist mode. And the reason why they do that is they start learning a whole bunch of stuff, but they don't practice any of it and get better at it.
And they're weird as hell.
And they're very weird.
Yeah.
Because they don't know how to apply anything. They think they have a whole bunch of knowledge, so all they do is talk about picking up chicks and never do anything.
They talk about it with other guys all the time, and they don't really talk to girls at all.
Yeah, they're picking up dudes.
Yeah.
Which is understandable.
Yeah.
You know?
It's an ego thing.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to keep your ego and go through this process, but you can't get anywhere doing that, so you have to just let it go.
What was it you explained last week, kind of the progression of getting better at this, all of this, how you don't do everything all at once, you pick one thing and then you go forward?
Yeah, I would take one or two things out with me. I like write them down on a piece of paper, things I wanted to work on. Like today I'm going to work on touching properly and this banter line. I'll write down the banter line. And I fold it up on a piece of paper and I put it in my back pocket, like I was saying before. And then I'll go out to a bar and I'll like have the paper. And like even if anytime someone's not talking to me, or even in the middle of a conversation, if I go blank, I'm ruining the interaction anyway. So I was like, worst thing that could happen is I keep doing this. So I pull out the paper and I'll be like, hold on a second. Okay. You're trouble. Like, whatever the line is, whatever the thing I did I want to do, I'll start doing it right then. You know, you have to sort of punish yourself for not practicing. And the way that you do that is you call yourself out in the middle of interactions like that. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Don't let yourself get away with anything. Because you're going to try to sneak away with this and not do anything. Just because it's how it is. Not that...
Yeah.
It's not because you're an idiot, though you are.
Thanks.
No, it's not because you're not good enough or anything, because that's the typical go-to, is that you're not good enough, that's how come you're not getting better at this, but just because your ego is going to try to keep you the same, which is all it ever does. It tries to keep you the same so it can try to keep you safe, so it can keep you in the lies. It's not like there's some big conspiracy, really. It's just that it's a lot more comfortable to believe a lie than it is to believe the truth. You know, that's just how it is. So the coaching calls, get on as well. But more important than anything, take one or two concepts at a time. Like you were saying, walking properly to the bus station or to the train station, whatever, to move all your stuff. That's one, right? Focus on that until you feel like you got it, and focus on one other thing too. That would probably be an interaction thing, like maybe negative body language, you know?
Okay.
I would work on your dominant body language too, because that's a major thing for you, is retraining yourself. That's going to be something you have to constantly do. You may decide to get like a thing that pulls your shoulders back and down. Like thing. I tried to get one of those, but I never really got around to it. I just never did. I don't know why. But it looks like a really cool thing to get. So do some research a little bit, maybe on Amazon or something, and figure out which one's best. So I'm going to go to the bathroom. You guys look through your notes now, like I said, and find some more things that are some more questions for yourself that's related to the material. And then we'll kind of go through and answer the questions as best we can, okay?
My last one is, how do we download like all this?
We'll upload this and send you
links. I'll send it to you guys.
Yeah.